As you may have gathered, you know, this morning here in church, it's I was going to say Thanksgiving. It's harvest. We're not in America, and it's harvest. So, you know, to me, simply harvest is saying thanks for, you know, to God for all the provision, all the things that He's given us. You know, so saying thank you to Him. You know, and we're using it as a church as an opportunity this morning to bless others, to give, you know, as we've been given. If you know, Les kind of gave a brief notice about food bank earlier. Like all this collection of tins and produce over here is to give to people who have got a tough time in front of them, who have got rough circumstances, who are, you know, between unemployment and receiving benefit. It's that time where they need provision most and they need love. And as a church, we want to get behind that and bless those. Because they've got a real need. They need food. We need food. What happens is we get hungry. I'm even starting to feel hunger now for the chili at the newcomers' lunch later. And if we don't eat, we starve. This morning, I want to take it as an opportunity to push us into talking about our spiritual hunger, to talk about how hungry we are spiritually as believers and what that really means. Matthew 6, verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." You know, in the book of Job, the title character there is introduced to us as a person who is perfect in his righteousness. That doesn't mean that he is without sin. It means that God sees him and saw him and said, "He everything about him, you know, he is right." In the sense, it means that, you know, his righteousness permeates every relationship of his life, you know, as his working principle. After all, righteousness is a matter of relationships. It's a matter of a relationship with God. It's a matter of a relationship with things. It's a matter of a relationship with other people. So blessed are those who hunger and thirst after a right relationship with God, and they will be filled. How hungry are we? How thirsty are we to have that right relationship with God? Let's pray. Let's just pray. Come. Yes, as we've already prayed this morning, Father, we invite you into our morning this morning. We invite you in to the word this morning. And we just say, come, Holy Spirit. Come and reign on us. Come and pour out your spirit on us, God. Come and be with us this morning. Lord, open our hearts up, Lord, to be unlocked, to have us unlocked and ourselves just to be made new in you this morning. To be made right with you, God. We pray you just simply increase our hunger. You increase our thirst for you and for a relationship with you that's like no other. We love you, Lord. Amen. Yeah, if you've got a Bible in front of you, or by you somewhere, some at the end of the aisles, just turn to John 4. You know, I'm sure a number of you have read John 4 before. It's this passage where there's this woman who's a Samaritan woman, and she's you know, Jesus is hanging out at the well of Jacob, and this woman is just walking towards him with carrying a water jug, and there's a you know, as she does that, you know, Jesus chats to her and just says, "Oh, you got a water jug? Can I have a drink?" And the story carries on. Now, you know, I'm sure most of you are familiar with that passage. But what happens in that is that this woman has an encounter with Jesus that changes her life forever and changes the lives of those in her township forever. We're going to pick it up at the end of the encounter in verse 27. "Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' Then, leaving her water jar," it's the important bit, "the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' Then his disciples said to each other, 'Could someone have brought him food?' My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus, the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Wow. What I want to draw our attention to there is simply verse 28. You know, she's going. She's thirsty. You know, the story goes that she didn't go early in the morning because she didn't want to encounter any of the other women in the town because they didn't like her, because she was, you know, living in a way that they didn't approve of. They judged her and they cast her out. You know, and what we see in verse 28 is that she goes to a well and she leaves a water jar behind. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why? You know, my answer would be that she had such a life-changing encounter that her thirst was quenched by her encounter with Jesus. We pick it up in verse 13 and it says, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You, me, us have a well inside of us, a well of eternal life that is inside of us to draw from it. So how do we draw from this well then? How do we do that? You know, how do we, when we come to church sometimes, or we're in our Christian lives and we feel dry, or we feel hungry, or we feel thirsty, and we're like, God, we just want you to pour out your Spirit again. But that's only part of the story. The other part is that there's a wellspring of life inside of you. You know, we can give to the needy. You know, with physical food. You know, with food that's going to give them sustenance, and by all means, we need to give to the poor. It's so important. But because inside of you there is a wellspring of life, Scripture tells us that our body is a temple. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Now, in the context of that day, the temple, this idea that your body is a temple, you know, I'm not going to, you know, put up a picture of a bodybuilder or something like that, as often I've seen in preaches. But what I'm going to say is that your body is a temple. It's a temple of the living God, because his presence resides within you, that wellspring of life. You know, the same temple, for them, that temple, they probably would have thought of Solomon's temple. You know, this great temple that they were crying out to be restored. Same temple spoken about in Ezekiel 47. Just going to read verses 1 and verses 9. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. In verse 9, and it goes on explaining it, but in verse 9 it says, and it shall be that every, and this is in the New King James, because, you know, there's something about the translation that strikes me. And it says, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. What do we see in verse 9, where we see I don't know what that makes you think of. You know, I don't know whether you've even read Ezekiel before, whether you've even contemplated all this imagery about the temple and what it meant, and you know, and all the stuff that's in Revelation as well. But when I see that, when I see verse 9, for me I see a prophetic word that speaks of a day that when we, as temples filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God, of the living God, this wellspring of life, this river coming out of us, brings with it life, it brings with it healing, and it brings with it salvation. Many fish. Come on, guys, we're fishers of men. You know, many fish. When that river's unlocked, when the blockages that hold us down are broken, when we release that wellspring, when we learn how to draw from what's inside of us already, comes with it life and salvation, and life in all its fullness, and a healing power that comes from the Almighty God. You know, the same Holy Spirit that is inside of you as a believer is the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You know, what happens when we learn to let the Holy Spirit out of us? Like I say, people get healed, they get saved, they get transformed. Now, some of you may be asking the question, well, I kind of thought that this God thing, this Holy Spirit thing, this Jesus geezer, all this stuff, was kind of just floating around somewhere, was kind of outside. You know, isn't God everywhere? Isn't God omnipresent? Isn't God, you know, kind of in heaven or, you know, wherever? You know, he's not in me. It's kind of just an external thing. Well, that's true. He is outside of us and he's inside of us, and there's this paradox going on. But, you know, he is outside. We know that. You know, we'll pour out, you know, God says he will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And we get this idea from Scripture that, you know, God will pour out his Spirit, that he will rain down on us. And we need to come to God when we're thirsty. We need to come and set ourselves before him and say, God, will you just pour out your Spirit on me? Will you just cleanse me? Will you refresh me? Will you renew me? That's going on. That is going on. But it's not all that is going on. Does that make sense? I hope it does. At the same time, there is this wellspring of life inside of you that Jesus Christ, the expectation of glory, it's amazing, is inside of you right now. We just have to get rid of these blockages, this stuff that's trampling him down, that tramples the Spirit down, that this war between the flesh and the Spirit, and how we our fleshly desires are like, you know, don't listen to that. Like, we're in worship and we're like, I just want to dance, I just want to sing, I just want to sing in the Spirit. Lord, our spirits are just going, connect with God, praise him, praise him, praise him. And our bodies are going, shut up, Spirit, you're going to look really silly. Like, I don't know, there's this whole Gollum thing going on. But, like, it's kind of true in one way. Like, this, like, our flesh is just, you know, trying to, you know, quash the Spirit and stop it from connecting with God, because it just wants fleshly desires. But the Spirit inside of us, the Spirit at our core, the Spirit that should be in authority of us, that should be in control, is going, praise him, praise him, praise him. And it's that Spirit that is in you, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, that will sustain you through hard times, that will sustain you through times of hunger, through dry spells in our lives. You know, sometimes if we allow blockages to cover it up, then it will take that encounter with God. It will take that almighty kind of presence, that time in worship, that time in ministry, to unblock it again, to get right with God again, to just get, you know, those things out the way. But we have to learn to keep it unblocked, and we have to learn to keep drawing from the Holy Spirit that is inside of us. Yeah, I'm reminded just briefly, a memory of my childhood was when we went on, you know, we used to walk the dogs, and as we used to go, like when there'd been heavy rain, there used to be this path that we walked down. As we walked down this path, there used to be a spring that used to bubble up because you just used to see this spring gushing out of the stone, out of the path that never normally did that. And it stayed there for a couple of days, even though the rain had stopped. And I guess it makes me realise that, sometimes it takes a heavy rain it takes an encounter with God to unblock that wellspring of life inside of us, so that it will bubble up again, so that it will flow again, so that it can flow again, that we can draw from it again. Peter in the Bible, he was a man with an unblocked well. He was a man that didn't have any blockages there. He walked past people. He was a guy, right? He wasn't, he wasn't even, we can't even escape it. He was fully human. He was just a man. And as he walked around, he'd walk around and his shadow would cast over people, and it would cast over them, and they would be healed, because the Spirit of the living God was flowing out of him in such an unblocked, in such a clear way that it just poured out everywhere he went. What stops this river flowing? What stops these blockages? Well, I've named just, there's a few things that I just want to name. Fear. Fear could be one. Fear of what people think of us when we let God outside of us. Fear of, that fear. Shall I give that word? Shall I give that encouragement to them? That stranger there on the road, shall I give it? No, they might think I'm a wally or really silly or just a weirdo. See ya. Or that fear that actually, if we let him outside of us, if we let him shape our lives and change us and permeate every part of our being, that our lives would never be the same again. That I'm afraid that, that the things that we hold on to, that we cling to now, whether it's escapism, whether it's the things of X Factor or Strictly, we enjoy those things and that's great, but, or whether it's more than that, whether it's pornography, whether it's drinking too much, whether it's escapism in a different way that we cling to, that if we are afraid that because we get comfort from those and it's easy and it's quick to just run to the things that we're comfortable with and stick with those. But if we let him permeate every part of us, it will all fade away. And yet the most exciting life you could ever live, that we could ever live together, would be unleashed, and everything else would fade away. Or maybe it's unbelief and doubt. We turn our attention off of Jesus. Either we look at the waves crashing around, or we say to ourselves, "Oh, it's a pretty big mountain. No, I can't move that. It's too hard. I'll just walk this way." We say, maybe we'll come back to it again and go, "Oh, that's a pretty big mountain. Maybe God could move it for me. Maybe if I prayed, it might move. Maybe, what if it won't? I don't even think God could move that mountain." And we walk away. That there's doubt and unbelief. And Jesus says, only believe. If you believe and do not doubt, that mountain will move. If you speak to that mountain will move. I believe that there is a time coming in our lifetime, in this next chapter of history, as we create history together, as believers, as the body, as the army of Christ, as his hands and feet on the earth, as we change this world into a place where heaven is invading earth, that there is a body of believers that will stand in that gap and say, "I believe and I do not doubt. Only believe and do not doubt." And those mountains in your lives will be moved. Or maybe we just simply fill our plates with all this stuff, with all like the stuff that I mentioned earlier, the things that we get our comfort from, the things that when we're hungry, when we're like, oh, there's this emptiness inside of me. And you see so many people do it, and they look to get fulfilled, and we look to get satisfied, and we just, you know, we'll either get escape, you know, and we'll feed it with computer games, or we'll feed that void with you know, drinking to excess, or we'll feed it with like this desire to be loved, and we'll experiment in physical relationships that aren't good for us outside of marriage because it just fulfills a need. There's this hunger inside, there's this emptiness, and we're just there going, I need to fill it, I'm hungry. And we just go for the quick fix, because maybe we're like, God, I'm hungry, change my life, do something. And maybe we're just like, we don't give him enough time, we don't wait upon the Lord. And so we just choose to go somewhere else to get filled. And it's junk food, because it lasts for a moment and it does not sustain. You know, John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. You know, part of me thinks that Jesus is, well, in that story of saying that he's the bread of life, that eat of me and drink of me and you know, and believe, and you will have life in all its fullness. You know, you will have that eternal life. Part of me in that story is seeing it as Jesus making it plain to us that he's saying, guys, I'm outside of you, but if you believe in me, if you eat of me, if you drink of me, I go within you. I come within, inside of you. Because as we eat, as we drink, it goes from being external to being internal, and his presence is inside of us. Yeah, now it's all right that we know this stuff. It's all right that we know something, but doing it is a completely different matter. You know, if we're here this morning, you know, I want us just to, and if we're engaging this morning, I want us to see what happens if we allow the Holy Spirit to reign on us, if we're allowing God to move and to touch our lives. You know, it's about positioning ourselves to be filled up and enter into an encounter with Jesus. You know, some of us, this may be second nature. We can do it. We can just enter into that, and we just know how to just position ourselves and position our affections towards him. Others of us here, that might be a totally alien concept. Yeah, but ultimately it's about letting our umbrellas down and letting God in. You know, how hungry are we? How hungry are we to see God change our lives, to see God make an impact in our lives that's transformational, that means that our city, our town, wherever we're from, our universities will never be the same again, because there's these people that are letting this river flow out of them that is just pouring out healing, that draws people to salvation, that brings life in all its fullness into the room. Or are we happy just to stay in a place of quick fixes and non-sustainable junk food that we fill our lives with? Do we come to church with an expectation of God to provide for our needs? When I say church, I mean home groups, I mean cells, I mean, you know, quiet times, I mean all that stuff. I mean here this morning. Do we come with an expectation that we're going to meet with God? Do we come hungry and desperate, or do we come unexpectant, filled up on the world's rubbish that's got these quick fixes in us? You know, maybe we're coming to church because it's the thing to do, because it's the right thing to do, because it's the thing that we come, and we come with this attitude of, you know, it's what I do on a Sunday morning. It's just what I do. Rather than an attitude of saying, I am going to have an encounter with the almighty, life-changing, bondage-breaking, awesomely loving God this morning. where we engage in our worship, where we own it, where we just abandon our hearts to Him, where we abandon our own will and say, God, not your my will, but yours be done. Just come and have your way with me, Jesus. Come and change my life. I just want an encounter with you. I just want to be filled up again. I want to be refreshed. I want, Lord, any blockages in me, just get rid of them. And as we worship, we own our worship in a way that means that we engage, that we don't just think it's about getting the words right. It's not about just singing off a script, that we just abandon ourselves to Him and say, come Holy Spirit, come and shape my life, come and move, come and bless others. Lord, is there anyone here that needs healing this morning? Lord, have your way, bring healing, your will be done. Heaven, come down on earth now and bring healing, bring salvation in this place. Or do we just kind of go on mute and kind of go on spectating and not engaging? It's our choice. It's your choice. Do we position ourselves? I probably should use a prop because I did bring it up here and I nearly made Noah cry. Do we kind of just do this where we just look at what's around us and we just see our circumstances and we just come in this place where we just, you know, just not really looking where we need to be looking? Or do we have this choice where we can say, you know what, I'm going to let my umbrella down and look upwards and just fix my eyes on the prize. I fix my eyes on you, Jesus. I just want to meet with you today. I want you to impact my life. I want you to invade it so that I can bring your will upon the earth, so that I can bring your kingdom come, so that I can bring your kingdom into every room I go in. Do we do that? We have a choice this morning. You know, and there's all this stuff, you know, and it's a paradox. You know, we are, being many, we are one body in Christ. But Christ is in you, the hope of glory. He's inside of you. We are in Christ and He is in us. And connecting with Him in both ways that will bring us into deeper, more intimate, changing relationship with Him. You know, and just before I pray, just before we just wait on Him this morning, you know, we're going to invite the kids in after that. So I know that time's precious, but we have to give Him an opportunity. You know, I just want to say two things. I want to say greater is holiness than unholiness. Greater is the holiness inside of you than the unholiness. It isn't a fair fight. Because holiness wins every time. Because holiness inside of us is greater than unholiness that is inside the world. Greater is the one inside of you than the one who is inside the world. You know, and as we look through the news and all this stuff, we see these miners in Chile, these 33 guys who were down this mine for a really long time. You know, and what did they have to sustain them? Yet you see their faces of joy and of happiness. And Helen comes home from work, and my wife, and says, "You know, I'm sure there's like they've got God written all over them. They're so happy. They're in a mine, and their faces are filled with joy." You know, and you ask them, you ask the stories, you hear the testimonies. And, you know, one guy said, "I met with God, and I met with the devil, and God won." Because holiness is greater than unholiness. And another one said, "Yeah, well, it was quite nice. We've all, you know, all 34 of us down there had a great time." And they're like, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, God, Jesus was with us in that time as well. So there was 34 of us. We were never alone. He never left us." They were drawing on this wellspring of life inside. They were drawing from something greater within, from the Holy Spirit, from this healing, life-giving, saving power that's inside of us, that's inside of you. And they just it was just unblocked in that time, because they just, all the stuff that maybe was filling on their plates before, they didn't have a choice. It wasn't there anymore. And I just have the worship band up for a moment. We're just going to pray. You know, I don't want you to and ah this morning about receiving. You know, I just encourage you just to step out of the boat. But let's just pray, eh? Yeah, look at that. Yeah, Lord, we just invite you this morning. We thank you that you said, drink of me and you will have eternal life. And Lord, we as believers in this place have drunk of you. And our lives will never be the same again. And we pray that you transform us from the inside out this morning. And we pray that you would move in our lives. And that, Lord, we would come to church where, in whatever context that is, with an expectation that you are going to rain down, that you are going to be pouring out your spirit in this place, Lord, that we can have the water running from above so that the heavy rains will come this morning and unblock our springs, unblock our wells, Lord. Won't you come? You know, I just, if you're feeling dry, if you're just wanting more of God's presence in your life right now, if this is like, if you've just been living on kind of just sustaining and just it's been dry, this is a dry season for you. You know, or if there's blockages in your life and you're just there and you're just like, you know what, Chris is right, there's stuff in my life that I need to just get out of the way so that Jesus isn't the bottom of the pile or kind of down the spectrum so that he becomes number one again. You know, whatever that may be, we don't, you know, I don't know, the Lord knows you and he knows what needs doing this morning, what business to do. And I just, you know, just as we wait on him, I just want to encourage you to stand where you are. To just say that, you know what, I'm going to go from a position of sitting to a position of standing because I'm saying that, God, I want you to move in my life. I want you to unblock that well. I want you to just sort this stuff out. I'm so dry. If that's you, I just stand now. Just stand. Just come, Lord. More of your spirit in this place. More of you. You know, I just encourage you. You know, worship band are going to play over us this morning, but... Well, I just encourage you, you know, just to take a step. We have ministry team here that would love to pray with you, that would love to just release what the Father is already doing right now, the lives of us that he's already touching right now. So, guys, if you stood, I just want you to make your way to the front, if you can, just to come and receive. Just to come and receive. Just to come and receive. You know, if you don't want to, that's... It's fine, but I encourage you just to say, God, I mean business. You mean business this morning, and I want you to just shape. Just spread out. There's plenty of space at the front right here. You don't have to fill in the gaps. Come all the way across the front. You know, and guys, if you're staying sitting, like, if you feel like it's on your heart this morning just to pray, For the guys that have come forwards that want to receive more of God this morning, then please come forwards and pray. If you could do that now, we're pushing for time. I appreciate that. I'll probably get told off in a moment, but if somebody can tell Annie, you know, to come down to in 5 minutes, that'd be great. But we're just gonna just give him an opportunity. You know, guys with guys, girls with girls, as we pray. But let's just receive now. So if you need to put your hands in front of you, or you need to just to kneel, or just to look up, or just to close your eyes, then let's do that now. Let's press in. Let's press in. Come, Lord. Come and have your way.